أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب. سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Revealed until Ashiratakal Aqrabin, and warn your immediate relatives. Nabi Sulaiman ascended the Mount Safa and called the different tribes of the Quraysh, Banu Abdul Munaf, Banu Abdul Muttalib, and then he explained to them, if I were to tell you that there is an enemy at the foot of this mountain, they're waiting to attack you in the morning, are you going to believe me? So they all said in one single voice, مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلِكَ الْكَذِبِ. We found you to be the most truthful. We never seen you speaking a lie. Then Nabi Sam delivered his message, and as he completed his message, warned them about the impending punishment. His uncle Abu Lahab, he stood up in defiance and very much disturbed. He picked up a boulder to strike Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saying, Tabbat yada, tabbat laka sa'ir al-yawm. Have you just called us for this? May you be perished. In consideration to the feelings and the emotions of the believers, Allah Ta'ala answers, Tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab. He is hurling abuse and insult against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he himself is subject to curse and destruction. For the hands of Abu Lahab perished, and he is also perished. Past tense showing that he's already perished. And it happened so just about a week after the Battle of Badr, and he had such a He was struck with such a plague that his entire body was covered with sores. He died in the state, isolated, broken away from his family. His family was afraid that this was a contagious sickness and they may be affected. So they left him in isolation, let him die in isolation. And several days passed with his corpse just decaying and rotting, until some slaves had been called to dump his body to a pit covering stones. So the lesson to be learned is that in the process of calling towards truth, there will be those that will support and those that will oppose. So don't be too worried about those that will oppose. Allah Ta'ala will take care of them. Continue doing your good work. Because of their opposition, their criticism, nor should you compromise, nor should you be overawed with their opposition and their criticism. Third, we also understand that those that are working for the truth, they are sincere, learned, righteous, and they are working to promote the truth, then fighting with them really amounts to fighting against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will defend them, and these people will die miserably. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبُ. His wealth and his gains are of no use to him, whether it is his wealth, whether it is his children, or his popularity. Everything is of no use for him. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبُ. He will enter a fire, a flaming fire will he enter, as well as his wife. Carrier of firewood, and around her neck is a rope firmly twisted of fiber, and that will be that rope that will be tying and will be tied round her neck. Hammalat al-Hadab, explaining the type of nature of this woman, either she should carry firewood or sticks with thorns, and she would strew it on the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to inconvenience and to cause pain to him. She had a passionate spite against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to hurt and to inconvenience him. Or the other meaning is symbolical. Hammalat al-Hadab also refers to a person who incites problem. Carrier of firewood, like how we're saying, you're adding fire. So in Arabic they say, Hammalat al-Hatab, carrier of firewood, inciting trouble, carrying tales, slandering, etc. So this wife of Abu Lahab, she was known for that, to carry tales, incite trouble, etc. Therefore the hadith warns that these three deeds are such that they really spoil the roza of the person that he is fasting. It spoils the wuzu of the person that has made wuzu. One is backbiting, one is carrying tales, and the third is lying. In fact, the hadith says that such people do not even enter into Jannah, the murderer, the usurer, and the one that goes about carrying tales. The next surah is Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Say, He is Allah, the one and only, and the eternal and absolute. He has not given birth, nor was He begotten, and there is none like unto Him. One Sahaba used to recite the surah quite often, and he expressed his muhabbat and his love for the surah. Nabi Sallam reassured him, on account of your muhabbat for the surah, you have already entered into Jannah. Nabi Sallam had assembled the Sahaba Kiram, telling them that I will recite one third of the Quran to you, and he recited the surah Qul Huwallah. So dynamic is the surah, that the entire description, all aspects of Tawheed are contained in the surah. The kuffar sometimes ask, sometimes in ridicule, and sometimes really to know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ask that what is He made up of, gold, silver, etc. So some ask this question, and others asked that what is the lineage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah has come to answer all the criticism or their questions, if they were true in what they were asking. Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu says that the surah Qul Huwallah and the next two surahs, Falaq and Nas, these surahs are contained in all the four scriptures, the Zabur, the Torah, the Injil, and the Quran Sharif. And recite these three surahs before sleeping. One who recites his three surahs, and these three surahs are sufficient for him. So dynamic and so powerful are these surahs. So when we say Allah Ta'ala is one and the only, He is unique in this respect that He is eternal and He is absolute. When we say He is eternal, in other words, He is not subject to time, He was and He will always be. So He is permanent, He is existent, His existence is not conditional or it is not temporary. Everything else, existence is either temporary or it is conditional, and Allah Ta'ala is and He is always. So He isn't something that is made up. In answer to those that asked what is He made up of, so He isn't made up. In other words, to make up requires a maker. When there is no maker for Him, then He's not a thing that is made up. He was, so He's not a thing that is constructed and made up. And number two, Allahu Samad, then Allah Ta'ala is absolute. He is the one that all people, every creation turns to. And He's so great, He doesn't need anybody. So He is totally independent of creation. Allahu Samad. Every person, every creature, everything depends on Him entirely. And he is absolutely free of all needs. He is the only being that is absolute. In his existence, he doesn't require anybody. He is free of all needs. People that subscribe to polytheism, then they believe in multiple gods. They worship multiple gods, or sometimes they feel their gods have to be given some gifts for them to exist. So Allah Ta'ala is free of all this type of polytheism and shirk, etc. He doesn't require anything. He has no needs, so there is nothing that he requires. In fact, he is the one that sees to the needs of one and all and sundry. He is the one that sees to every person's needs. So Allahu Samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad. Neither was he born, nor was he begotten. So this is to rid and negate the belief of those people that have an animalistic belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To say that he was born, na'uzu billah, or he was begotten, is to have this type of a belief with Allah ta'ala that he is something of an animal characteristic. So na'uzu billah, Allah ta'ala is free from all this. He is the reality. When we say Samad and Ahad, he is that being that was always, and he is the only being that's absolutely real and absolute. So everything before him is just like a shadow or a reflection. And he is the only one that is real. He is the only one that is eternal. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Those that asked about the lineage of Allah Ta'ala, this comes to negate and to refute them as well, that he isn't, don't compare him to any other creation. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. There is none like unto him. So when he doesn't have a child, he wasn't born, and he wasn't begotten, then he doesn't have animalistic characteristics, rather he is eternal, absolute. And he has no one that is like unto him. So he is beyond human conceptions, human conceptions and human perceptions. He is beyond all this. So when we talk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the being that is eternal. He is real. Everything else before him is just like a shadow or a reflection. He is far beyond our conception and perception. Whatever we think of him is far, far greater and above all our perceptions. And number three, that he is absolute and he is eternal. He was always, he will be always. He is not someone, na'uzu billah, that is made up. He was, and he is eternal. And every creature turns to him for its needs and requirements. And he is so high and above all, he doesn't require anything. So don't you compare yourselves to him or compare any creation to him, because there is none like unto him.